you have your Bibles this morning. And turn with me in Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to be beginning to read in verse 32. It says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." You see, you got to remember that Satan comes and presents himself as an angel of light. But remember, his light blinds you. It doesn't lead you to salvation, but it leads you to a false salvation. We have this confession. And so people will make a doctrine out of confessing Christ. Okay, so I believe there's a Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. So therefore, he's going to confess me before the Father, right? Wrong. Okay, that's the blinding light. You see, confession comes from the heart, not from the head. See, religion has made it so simple to just confess Jesus Christ and slap Jesus Christ on everything. And so if you live your life professing Jesus Christ, then you're going to die and go to heaven. Again, another lie from the blinding light. There's no truth in that at all. Okay? Confession comes from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has not convicted you of who you are, what you are, and your sin, then you've not been brought to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There has to be a conviction. See, Jesus even told him, he said, "When I go away, I'm going to send a helper." That helper is the Holy Spirit, and his responsibility is to convict the world of their sin. See, unfortunately, the church has decided that they will tell people what's right and what's wrong. And they do it by confessing Jesus Christ in the wrong way. Not the proper way. Not the way that Scripture says that we should confess Christ. Confessing Christ is not just speaking the words of Jesus and slapping Jesus on everything, tattooing Jesus on your chest or on your arms, and slapping Jesus as you're going 90 miles an hour down the road. Jesus loves you. We've got the gospel message all messed up in what it means to confess Jesus Christ. You see, when that soul is tormented by the sin that you've been convicted by, then it's through the heart that man confesses. What is he confessing? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel of Jesus Christ? He came to warn us from heaven that there's a wrath coming to those that do not believe. That if you do not repent of your sin, there will be no forgiveness of that sin. Man will struggle and struggle trying to repent of their sin. Something they cannot do. Something only that God can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allow us to do is to obey his commandments and repent from what we were born. You see, if you don't have a mother, you probably won't be here this morning. Boy, that's deep. Do you know everybody has a mother? Because God, that's the way that God made it. Okay? There are some simple truths that are just not deniable, even though our world is trying to take away everything that God has written about society. Confessing him is living in righteousness. He died on a cross that we might be his righteousness. Not that we go out and do good things. Okay, see, when the focal point is doing and not being, then we've lost the message of the gospel. This gospel is miraculous. It takes us from something that we can't be or do and brings us to something that only God can make us. It says we are his workmanship for his good pleasure. So by confessing him, it's how I live. Not from the lips, but from the heart. Making decisions based upon righteousness, not on how I feel. You see, we too try to live so much on how we feel and not on the righteousness of God. See, the righteousness of God has no emotion. It's a decision. And unfortunately, that's not taught. It's, how do you feel about this? Well, what do you think about God? Well, what do you think about this? Well, God really doesn't care what you think. I know that's harsh, and I know that sounds and comes across wrong, but in the reality, man needs to understand that God doesn't care what man thinks. God says, I'm a holy God, and I'm righteous, and I'm sovereign over all. And whatever I deem is right, and whatever I deem is sin, and I really don't need your input. We are so arrogant and so prideful, and religion has puffed us up so much that we start making assumptions and things about who God is and what God's going to do in someone's life. And the sad thing is how people come to salvation. We have lost it. Somebody tells a little child they need to just say a prayer or they're going to go to hell. Well, by gosh, that's wrong. That's not in Scripture. That's not in Scripture. It's not in there. But yet we've made a doctrine of it all over. Just believe in Jesus. Just confess Jesus and you're saved. Well, that is wrong. You have to read the rest of the Scriptures to understand what God's talking about here. The spiritual wisdom and the spiritual meaning of what it means to confess Him before men. It means I make righteous decisions before them. Not going along with them. Not adulterating the Word of God to appease them. But simply truth and love. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who's in heaven. There's a lot of people that are professing Jesus Christ from a religious standpoint that are actually denying the Father. You see, we live in that world that there's going to be a form of godliness, but devoid of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, you have nothing. Bible says that if you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, you are not His and you are not His child. The Bible says, the world says, just confessing. Just live in this false assumption. You know, there's a lot of people that join organizations like the Boy Scouts, the Girls. Can you say Boy Scouts now? Is that legal? I don't know. I'm probably not politically correct because I'm up here preaching God's word. But the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the Masons and, you know, all these different fraternities and things that you join, and then you live your life under that realm of who you now are because you joined something. We had a lot of people joining churches, but they're not confessing Christ. They're not confessing God in the way that Scripture says that you must confess them. You see, we can't live the way that we were born to live and be confessing Jesus Christ. We're denying Him if we live the way that we were born. See, we were born dead in our trespasses of sin. We're born in iniquity. We are flesh. And flesh can only beget flesh. God is only one that can bring spirit into our life and bring us back into that spiritual being that He created. See, this is the part that no one likes. Is the next verse. It says, Jesus is telling people, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I brought a sword. So what is our world talking about now? inclusion, right? Diversity. And in that diversity, we're to find unity. How can you have unity in diversity? Please explain that to me. It doesn't matter what someone wears, someone believes, someone does, someone, it doesn't just matter anymore. We're to accept it all, or we are the bigots of the world. If you stand on God's word, I'm going to tell you this morning, you're a racist and you're a bigot if you're a child of God, according to the world. You see, because you're not truly that, and I'll put Christians in parentheses because we know that God never called us Christians, right? We know that that was something that the Romans coined for someone that was following Christ. Jesus did never, or God never called us that. He didn't bring them in peace. He brought a sword. A sword that will separate. The word of God causes divisions. Now, not the kind of division that religion causes. You understand? See, most of the messages that I preach and teach in most churches, they would treat me like they treated Jesus in the fact that he's a madman. He doesn't have any education. He doesn't have any education. He doesn't have any formal training. He's not an authority. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not been trained in by men. He's not been trained by the best universities. The truth of God does not come through the wisdom of man. The truth of God does come from the knowledge of man. The truth of God does not come from studying God's word. The truth of God comes from the revelation that God chooses to give you if you approach him with fear and trembling. See, we make salvation just a joyous event, and we dunk them and boom, bring them up, and man, everybody's fine. Life's going to be grand. How's that working for you? How's that working for our world? Huh? If all those people that have been dunked in the water were truly children of God, why is our world decaying at a faster rate than it ever has? Please, someone explain that to me that's a lot smarter than me. Why the doctrine of men is not working? Because it's not the doctrine of God. His word will separate families. Now, we don't want to separate families because we're convicting them of how they ought to act, or we've taken on that role of the Holy Spirit. That's not the separation that he's talking about. He's talking about that a true child of God will live a life different than what the world lives. Did you know you cannot agree with the world and be a child of God? Because the Bible says that you're an enemy of God. See, these are things that are never taught. These are things that are never preached in our world, because now we're trying to get everybody together. It doesn't matter. Sin no longer matters in the lives of men. We're just supposed to love everybody. Well, like we talked about, God's love was a universal love, unconditional, for the state of mankind. Period. So that's why God's love is never in question. Because he sent his son. It's a fact. That man might be reconciled back to God. Through the work of the cross. Period. That is God's love. For mankind. Can't question God's love. Because he says, I love the world, that I gave my only begotten son. See, that's where a lot of people like to stop. He didn't give it just so he loved the world, it's so that the world would not perish. You see, sinful man does not come to the saving knowledge of who God is by being taught by God. will suffer that wrath of Almighty God. You see, the reason it's so complacent in our life is because religion has made it palatable. It's made God's word very palatable that God just loves you. No, he did not say that. He didn't say he just loved you and you just do whatever you want to do and you're going to go to heaven. It's not in there. Read it. Read it from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and if you still believe what you believe, come tell me if you've not already read it. I come to bring a sword, not peace. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Let the word of God separate your families, not you. See, always remember to take that log out of your eye before you begin to look at the family, your family members, specks in their eyes. See, religion puffs us up and religious because we go on mission trips and because we teach a Sunday school class, because we do a Mother's Day Out program, because we go to the food bank and because we do all those things, we somehow believe that we have the right to tell someone else how to live. Have we become that arrogant as a church that we begin to look down on others instead of remembering the grace that God gave us? And have the compassion for those that are trapped into something they can't do anything about. And there's no way out if God does not grant that in their life. The word of God will separate. If you just live according to the scriptures, you will be separated from this world. We were never to be that mediator between man and God that makes the world and God get along. But to tell someone that God loves them where they're at, and that's all you tell them, then you've not represented God correctly. It is wrong for you to tell someone that God loves them where they're at without telling them the whole truth. God loves you more than where he found you. He loves you so much that he will not leave you where he found you. And by the way, he's the one that finds you. You don't find him. You don't give your life to Christ. Christ gives you life. You don't sacrifice for God. God sacrificed for you. See how man's got it all backwards? And this religious state's got it all backwards? And you know, that's the division that has... It's not this division that God's talking about, but religion has caused a lot of division. The Methodists can't get along with the Catholics. The Catholics can't get along with the Baptists, and the Baptists can't get along with the Protestants. We just can't get along because we all believe in something different. Well, how's that when there's only one shepherd? How's that when there's only one faith? How's that when there's only one God? How's that when there's only one door? How's that when there's only one shepherd? Explain it to me, please. Somebody smarter than me, explain to me how you could have all this division and garbage that's going on and say, yes, we all belong to him, we're his children. Somebody's lying. It says, and a man's enemies, listen to this, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. You know, it says in Scripture, and we saw this a little bit with COVID, where family members were turning in family members for meeting when the governor said, you can't meet. And you had family members turning in family members, calling folks to say, oh, they got more than three people, five people there. There's an end time coming where your family members, for you standing on the Word of God and living your life quietly. Do you know how you're supposed to live your life as a child of God? Quietly. Getting along with everybody to the best of your ability. Quietly. Religion is boisterous. Religion is loud. There's a time coming at the end time where it says that they will turn over family members, children will turn over parents and brothers and sisters to be killed in the end time because they are children of God. Real quickly, we'll look at John chapter 10. Jesus says, for this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I might take it up again. Jesus was loved by the Father because, not only because he was his son, but he was an obedient son. And he was the nature of God because he was born by God. That's why religion takes the miracle out of salvation, out of being saved, out of that miraculous birth of being born again. Religion takes that out. It doesn't matter how dedicated we think we are or how sincere that we want to be, unless there's a miraculous transformation where the Holy Spirit is impregnated in you and you become a child of God, you are not a child of God. And so you're not born of God. If you're not born of God, you will die in your iniquity. It doesn't matter how religious. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter how many good things you do in life. It all rests on the fact, are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit? But He was obedient. Jesus said, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. He didn't say he was your friend. And what is being taught by all the religious out there? Jesus is your friend. God is your buddy. He's waiting with open arms for you to come and make him your God. What? What? You're so arrogant that you're going to make him your God? Oh my gosh. The fact that he'll actually let him be your God, that he's willing to be God and be his righteousness. We've got it all backwards, see? Religion has it all backwards. Hope you can see the arrogance in those statements that people make. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Because that was his purpose, was to die, so that we could be reconciled back to God. He said, no one's taken away from me. They beat him. It says, the Bible says that he wasn't even recognizable as a man. They tried to kill him before he went to the cross because Satan knew what was going to happen. And they tried to kill him. They could not kill him. Because it was given to him the authority to lay it down and to take it up again. No one's taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This is the commandment I received from my Father. Guess what happened? He's speaking truth. He's speaking the Word of God. And guess what? The very next scripture says a division occurred among the Jews because of these words. God's word is going to cause a division. Religion will try to bring things together That's not working too good, folks. That's not working very good. But a division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Men are saying, he's a demon. He's insane. People think I'm insane. Because I think that the word of God is all I need to share. You see, one of the struggles I had when I became pastor was the fact that I thought I had to preach in a way to convince you of what was right. And God finally taught me that it's not your responsibility to convince anybody of anything, but just to share the truth and love. No one's going to listen to me. I'm a nobody. But you better listen to what I'm saying. I can back up everything that I say. I don't take anything out of context. The world has made it just, it doesn't matter. See, we live in that age of apostasy which God predicted was going to come. That's a great falling away from truth. And if you're not careful, you are one of those people that are living in that age of apostasy and buying into the lies of this world. See, don't you be so arrogant and sit there as I'm not arrogant and thinking that I cannot. I pray every day, God, don't let me be one of those that are deceived. See, there's no power in me in the flesh, but only in the Holy Spirit, that if I stay, if. See, the great ifs of God. If I stay the course, if I not veer to the left or the right, if I continue to deny myself daily, if I put on the armor of God, if I walk in love, I please God by faith, if, then these things are promised to me. But that division occurred. He's a demon. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of a blind, can he? See, man likes to take the word of God and we like to debate it. We like to dissect it, but we don't obey it. We do everything but what God tells us to do. Define it, change it, interpret it. You don't interpret Scripture. Did you know that? You do not have a right or the ability, and neither does anyone who graduates from any seminary with a degree have any authority given them by God to tell you what that Scripture means and interpret Scripture for you. But guess what? Being the people that we are today, we like to be told what to do. Artificial intelligence is coming. You know what that means? That you don't have to use your intelligence. And it's going to tell you exactly what to believe, exactly what to act, how to act, when to do this, when to do that. And our world is being consumed by the fact that we're lazy. Technology just shows how lazy we are. Our neighbor's got a lawnmower that mows his yard for him. What? That totally goes against Scripture. Did you know technology is against Scripture? God says you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Because that is a penalty for sin. So see, you got to see what man's doing. You got to see through all this fog and live in righteousness as God has proclaimed what is right, not us. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father God, you are holy. Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's not popular. We know that we want a Jesus that just makes everything great in our lives. But Father, you want us to recognize that you are holy. The whole purpose of this being written is that we come back to you and we acknowledge that you're holy. And we come together as a group of people and we worship you from the heart. Father, I know it's not my responsibility to explain it, but to share it. But even a greater responsibility is to live it. And without your power within me, Father, I can't do that. Father, I pray that you would convict us, correct us, guide us, prove us. For it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Can we hold on for just a minute before we do that? I got something else to do. Guess what? You're either a mother or a father or a man or a woman. I'm sorry. That's all there is. How do I know that? You see, our world is so messed up. Today is Mother's Day. It means if you had a kid, you're a mama. Now, it doesn't tell you how good of a mama you are or how bad a mama you are. But if you have given birth to a child, contrary to our world, you're a mama. Mother, whatever you want to call you. So sometimes you have to go back to the Word of God. Start in Genesis, because that's a great place to start. Did you know? If you're wondering about all of this, you know what the greatest place to start? Is back in Genesis. That's where I started at, was in the beginning. It says, in the beginning. But listen to this. This is chapter 2, verse 18. It says, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'll make him a helper suitable for him. See, it also defines that there's a man and a woman, but it also defines the role of man and woman. See, because man thought they were wiser than God, and because the woman has decided that she will not take on the role of woman, but she's as equal and as good as a man, and we'll show the world that we can do anything like a man, we've destroyed the family that God has set forth. Not popular. You're talking about getting stoned after the service. They're going to throw me out of the synagogue here. I'll make them a suitable helper. That suitable helper is a woman, not another man, and not a woman helping a woman. The suitable helper is a woman helping a man. And the role is the woman should never take and supersede the man. A helper is someone that helps. If you take over the role, then you are controlling the man. You are controlling the situation. God put man in authority of all things in this earth to control. Of course, we're under the authority of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the man doesn't get to do what the man wants to do. He's under God's total authority. So out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the sky, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there's not found a suitable helper for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept, and he took one. Do you know, the woman was even made different than the man. He slept and he took one of the ribs. So after he had fashioned man out of clay and breathed into his nostrils, he did not make woman the same way he made man. He made woman completely different. He slept, took one of the ribs, and closed up the flesh at the place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman. See, I mean, how many times are people writing books? And what is it? Would you define woman for me? And they go around with microphones. Can you tell me what a woman is? Can you tell me what a woman is? Huh? I'll tell you what a woman is. Huh? It's come from the rib of a man. That's how God fashioned it. That's what a woman is. And a woman has a specific purpose that God gave her. And the Lord God fashioned a woman, rib, taken out of the man, and brought it to the man. And the man said, "Huh, this is bone in my bones and flesh in my flesh. What? She shall be called woman." I never hear anybody taking that answer back to Scripture. Do y'all? I don't even hear people in the church taking it back to Scripture. She'll be called woman. But she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. And the man and the wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. Wow. Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Okay? She is complimenting and giving the man what he lacks. Okay? But she should always be seeking out the best for her husband. Huh? We like it when we the stud at the house and our woman still thinks we the stud. Huh? Yeah. Make your man feel like a stud. Don't matter how old you are. Us old dudes like to be studs. We can't gallop as fast as we used to, but guess what? We can trot. God gave us to you to help us. We need you. Of course, on Father's Day, we'll tell you about the arrogance of man that says he don't need nothing. So y'all probably don't want to come back Father's Day. The women will be here, but the men won't. She looks well to the ways of her household. She cares about her household. See, it's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about becoming president, not becoming a doctor. Went to a graduation. Zach became a veterinarian and I only had 15 guys in the class. The other 125 were women. Medical school is the same way. Ohio State has the first all-woman class. Women have forsaken their role that God has given them. So don't blame God for what we're dealing with in our society. Because we have come so far from what God said your purpose is. You're not supposed to be president. You're not supposed to be vice president. You're not supposed to be president of a business. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idols. She's not lazy. You seen these lazy mamas? They just lay around and eat chocolate all day and watch the soap operas on TV, and then their husband comes home and these Hallmark movies, and man, they just ain't the Hallmark man that they've been watching all day. And now there's a problem in the house. I'm not a Hallmark man. See, she's busy. She's got responsibilities that God's given her. Her children rise up and bless her. They're not going to rise up and bless you by you giving them everything that they want. They will rise up and bless you when they are older and they realize the deceptions of this world through the Holy Scriptures. When she teaches them how to read through the Scriptures and explains to them the roles. See, you wouldn't have this problem about boys thinking that they're girls and girls thinking that they're boys if the mamas and the daddies had read Scripture to them and said, "Well, I know you feel like, but you know, this is the way He made you. And who are we to argue back to God, why did you make me this way? Her children rise up, bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. See, charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Women, I know it's hard, especially young women who are going to become mothers. How difficult. Because the world is telling you one thing, but God is telling you something else. If you don't want trouble in your household, if you want your life, the world's going to look at you and just absolutely ridicule you for taking on the role that God has given you. Rearing children is a very important. Don't let other people raise your children. Oh, you know, I know in this world we live today, it's difficult. You know, but this is the pureness of God's word. The young couples now, they have to have two incomes to make it to meet. Still, it doesn't mean it's okay. It just means that's what sin has done to our world. Because it's that that's breaking the family. I raised in that generation where, you know, my mom, every time I came home, she was there. I knew that that was a safe place. And I knew that when I walked in that door, hey, Mom! And just to hear her voice, yeah. Boy, that was amazing. But now we think sports and we think everything else is so important other than what God instituted in our lives. So understand, we cannot blame God for what's going on in our world. He wrote it out very clearly how it should be. I take my hats off to a mom. Very difficult. When you're trying to be that helper to that man who's arrogant and prideful and think he knows it all because he's not submitted. I was going to read another passage of scripture, but I know we're getting late and you guys are getting mad at me because I've held you past the traditional 12 o'clock. So I know that, wow, but I got a flower for you. Is that a good? That'll make it up. I got a flower for you. That'll make it better. But this is serious. You don't have to live like the world. Oh, you won't have the things of the world. But I tell you what you will have. Children that are raised up someday and call you blessed. Because you protected me, Mom and Dad, from this world. You told me what was true. You didn't tell me I sung good when I sung terrible. When I stunk at soccer, you loved me enough to tell me I stunk at soccer. But you do it in a way that protects them and brings them up in a healthy home. This world and Satan is to destroy you and your family. That's his purpose. It doesn't have to happen. But don't blame God for what's going on in the world today. Because we have so turned our back on our roles and our purposes in life that God had set forth.